So if you can get them here for that, I think that's a really, really good thing for them. What else? There's something else I had to bring up too. I'll remember at some point. Let's see, Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. Though, let's read some verses here, then we'll pray and get into the message here this evening. We're going to start in verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love you. We thank you for your word. We ask your blessing upon the service tonight. We pray that you'd be glorified and honored in all that is said and done, Lord. And we pray that your blessing would be upon the service. Please use this to draw us closer to you. Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know Christ as Savior, Lord, we certainly do pray for their salvation. Lord, please bless tonight. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, tonight I'm going to focus on the importance of wisdom and looking at a few different things in Scripture about it, and it certainly is very important. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. I know, was it a pastor? I read it, I don't remember where it was, but somebody has said it, that knowledge you get by looking around and wisdom you get by looking up, and it's very true. And there is a big difference between the two, and wisdom is certainly desperately needed in our day, and within our homes, within our churches. And I wrote down some things just by way to start off, some wisdom from children that I came across. I'll look those up from time to time. I'll look some more up today. But here's some good wisdom from children. You can see the difference between wisdom and knowledge. This one 10-year-old boy said his word of wisdom for everybody was this: never trust a dog to watch your food. I think that's pretty good. Here's another one named Michael, a boy. He said, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. That's wisdom speaking, not just knowledge. Another one said, never tell your mom that her diet is not working. Yep. It's true for husbands as well. Another little girl said this. This one's pretty easy. Yeah. Don't need much wisdom to figure this one out. Never try to baptize your cat. For all you boys like 12 and under, when you get home tonight, try and baptize your cat. See how well that works. So anyhow, but certainly is a great need of wisdom, but I do want to look at the importance of it. Wisdom, of course, is what gives us the decision, that gives us the ability to make the correct decisions in our life. It's wisdom. Just like with those simple things we just read from the children, you know, most of those kids are through experience that they learn a measure of wisdom. It wasn't just about knowledge and how to deal with mom and dad or different things like that. You can tell all those things are from experience. They ended up obtaining a measure of wisdom in making right decisions. But your life is made up of decisions. Every day, from small decisions to big decisions, we make them constantly. Sometimes we're faced with major decisions at a quick moment's notice. Having wisdom is so important in your life. Knowing that you can make that right decision with confidence. To make the right decisions at work when you're faced with different, you know, complexities there and different relationships that you're facing at work, to have the ability to make the right decision. Or even with, you know, from coworkers to family situations, with spouses and with children, and be able to have the right wisdom. I mean, especially as you think it with your children, the need for wisdom from the time they're an infant and all of a sudden they're changing into a toddler stage and trying to use wisdom and making right decisions for them to get them grounded in the things of the Lord as to what's right and what's not. And then as they progress, as they're getting older and changing from a toddler into a little child and then, you know, getting into those preteen years and teen years. And by those teen years, you hope you have a foundation established and wisdom in the home that you can help guide them to help making right decisions. You're going to need wisdom for all of that. Again, many of the problems that we face in our life is simply due to not the circumstances we face. It's our own lack of wisdom that created those circumstances. So the need is for wisdom. It is wisdom that gives us the ability to make right decisions. That is much more important than that job that pays $250,000 a year. It is. I'd much rather have wisdom to be able to make right decisions in my life for that than that. But wisdom is what gives you the ability to make the right decisions in life. Wisdom is also what allows you to handle the storms of life. Look over at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, I'm going to cover a total of three areas here tonight, since we're not doing this as a topical message and not expository. We're going to cover three different elements of wisdom. Right now, I'm just demonstrating biblically the importance of wisdom, what it's going to do for you. And then secondly, we're going to look at, okay, so how do you get this wisdom? How do you obtain wisdom? It's not something you read in a book. So we'll look at obtaining wisdom. And then we're going to figure out, lastly, because the Bible gives us, it lets you know how to determine if the decision you're making is of the Lord's wisdom or not. And how you can measure that when it comes to the decisions that you do make. But now, Matthew chapter 7, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount here, let's take a look at the last couple of, starting verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will like him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So there's another element here, of course, to wisdom and why it's so important in our life, because it is wisdom that allows you to put a foundation in your life that can handle the trials that are going to come. All of us are going to have different storms and battles that we're going to face, and it's going to take wisdom in your life to have you prepared when those storms arrive. It's the foolishness in your life, the lack of wisdom that allows you to get to a place in your life when all of a sudden, when faced with trials, you completely crumble. That's a result of decisions made that were not of God's wisdom in your life. So it is wisdom that does allow you to brace for the storms of life. It's not cute little sayings. That's not going to help you when those storms hit. You know, our world is full of those. I should have wrote them down. I didn't for the message. But, you know, I don't know. You know, you got this. You know, there's nobody like you. You know, all these little sayings that think they're going to help you. When you're hit with a true trial, those things aren't going to mean nothing to you. Nothing. You had better have some wisdom in place in your life that prepared a foundation for what you're facing. That is certainly going to be needed. Wisdom allows you to make the right decision. Wisdom prepares you for the storms of life. Wisdom is what allows you to accomplish God's will. Look over in 1 Kings chapter 3. This is a well-known account of something the Lord did here in 1 Kings chapter 3. He comes to Solomon in a dream in verse 5, and he lets Solomon know, listen, what you can ask anything of me that you want, and I'm going to give it to you. Let's pick it up, though, in verse 7 for time's sake here. Let's jump to verse 7. The Lord's already told him that. Solomon is already addressing the Lord, and he says this in verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And then, of course, the Lord is pleased with that. He grants him the wisdom outside of Jesus Christ. There wasn't a man more wise than Solomon. And so Solomon recognized his need for wisdom. And the Lord tells him, listen, you didn't ask for money. You didn't ask for fame. What Solomon's heart desire was to do the will of God. That was the Lord's point. And what Solomon recognized to do God's will, what he needed wasn't power. It was wisdom. It was wisdom from God. He understood the position that he was in as a king, and he was comparing himself to David, and he was feeling overwhelmed. You know, you ever seen that picture of that guy that's in an ocean and just, you know, it's just him. It shows you how vast the ocean is. That's probably how Solomon was feeling. And he knew to be successful at this, he was going to need wisdom. Listen, the same is true for your life. He said, listen, he knew I'm going to need discernment. I'm going to have to discern between these different things. You need the same level of discernment. I mean, let's think of all the measure of confusion that Satan has mattered to clutter in this world right now. People need wisdom. They certainly need wisdom. And if you are going to accomplish God's will and God's service, you are going to need wisdom from God. The fact is, wisdom is also what brings happiness to life. It is not wealth or fame. Do you ever hear those horror stories of those people who actually win the lottery? And how they follow up on them, whatever, 5 years or 10 years later. And I don't know what the percentage is. I wish I could find it. But I know I've read the accounts of them where they have said something to this effect. I wish I had never got that money. It never led to happiness. Oh, it did initially. They were probably thrilled. I'm set for life. Little did they see all the problems that would come from that. Look over in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I've been playing the lottery for years and you didn't get to win. Just kidding. I am not. Don't. Marianne does. I don't. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. How is he described? Happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And then what it does is, what it's going to do in the next couple of verses here, it's going to demonstrate why that verse is true. For the merchandise of it, of wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is every one that retaineth her. Listen, wisdom is the key to happiness. It's not the right retirement account. It's not the right career. It's not all these different things that you think you have to have all these blocks in order. It is wisdom from God that will lead to a happy place in your life. Because you have a measure of understanding. You have a measure of discernment in your life. You have the ability to make right decisions. There's an understanding that you have. When you have God's wisdom, you understand, really, you can put in perspective life. You have the understanding that, for instance, everything that we're going through right now, it's just temporal. It'll pass. Wisdom is what gives you that ability. Wisdom is what comes in when you are faced with something that you know how to respond. And you make the right decision. Wisdom gives us the ability to make right decision. Wisdom helps us brace for the storms of life. Wisdom helps us to accomplish God's will. It's what brings happiness to our life. That's not wealth. That's not fame. That's not what's going to do that. And of course, as we see throughout Proverbs, and I've already mentioned it, wisdom is what brings discretion and understanding, the ability to discern. Now, how do we obtain wisdom? Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to give, what do I have here? Just a couple of different things here on obtaining wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2. Let me back up here a little bit and see. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity in every good path. And it goes on, when wisdom entereth thy heart. It'll dive more into the fact where we get into even later on in the chapter about the necessity of seeking for wisdom and driving after it. It'll continue on with that throughout the book of Proverbs. I think what we're to do is to seek her diligently. What is the verse that says? To seek her diligently as treasures in gold. I can't remember the verse there in Proverbs, but it deals with seeking it diligently. We all know how the drive that people had in seeking some type of financial success. They'll go to seminars, they'll go to universities, anything to be able to find that gold. And it's saying what Proverbs teaches us, don't spend your time and your energy and the strength that God's given you seeking that. Put wisdom in that place and go after wisdom that way. And it starts off the foundation in chapter 2 saying, listen, wisdom is from God. It comes from Him. So we have to seek the Lord diligently for the wisdom that we need. We need clear understanding of just how desperately we need God's wisdom in our life. That should be a matter of prayer in your life each and every day. We should make wisdom a priority. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, I believe. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The context here is wisdom, by the way. The context of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17 is wisdom. It's saying that seeking wisdom early. And again, it just deals with making a priority in your life of begging God for wisdom, seeking Him for it, not waiting till you're in the midst of the trial. Remember the man who had built the house, the wise man, the foundation was in place before the storm hit. Seek wisdom early. Even for our young men and young ladies in here, that's something to start praying for now. Pray for wisdom. I mean, you're going to be making decisions of what you want to do with your life. I know Levi came to me about a week ago or so and said, Dad, how do I find God's will for my life? How do I know what it is that He wants me to do? One, I was thrilled he asked the question. I just don't want him to think, you know what, I want to be a ball player. You know what, I want to be a lawyer. Or I want to be a fireman. I don't want him thinking that way. I want him thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? If that's a lawyer, fine. Good. Simply do what God wants you to do. But you young men and young ladies need to seek wisdom now. Seek wisdom early in life. And of course, a popular verse is James. Look over in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Listen, the Lord's telling us here, I've preached on that text before. That's in the context of trials and troubles and saying how desperate you need wisdom during that time frame when everything's going wrong. You got to have God's wisdom in your life. And he abradeth it not. In other words, when you come to Him for wisdom, He wants to provide it for you. He's not there like an earthly dad might be and wants to do an I told you so for an hour first. Where he is going to sort of, you know, say, really? No, now you're going to come to me for wisdom. Not now. Isn't it a little bit too late now? He says, listen, I'm not going to do that. You seek me for wisdom, and I'll provide it. So we have to ask God. We have to seek Him for it. Again, don't confuse wisdom with knowledge. A person can have a whole lot of knowledge without any wisdom. You can gain knowledge from books. Like that one pastor said, I referred to in the introduction, or the commentary, it said, you can look around and obtain knowledge, but you have to look up to get wisdom. Wisdom is what will give you the ability to use the knowledge right. You know, it's kind of like when I was in the Air Force, we had a member who was a tech sergeant. I was just an airman. And he was sort of a smart guy, but everybody kind of knew, without, I don't think I ever used that terminology, but he is a good example of this, that he had no wisdom. You know, he had a certain smart about him. I don't know if it was book smart, what you might call it, or whatever, but he still, there was just, you know, you were afraid when he was making a decision, even though he was smart. And I remember one day, We would get fuel in from different ways. We get the jet fuel in. One of them was an underground transfer from a place. It was I don't know, several miles out of town. We had arranged stuff, and it was all underground. So the fuel would be coming in underground through a pipeline system that was set up and coming onto the base. And, of course, we have this huge filter that it comes into. It hits it. The fuel's just moving. It's like going 700-800 gallons per minute type stuff. And it goes into this filter separator, trying to clean up as best as it could before it ever hits our tank. Because once it comes out of the tank, it's going to be hitting a truck and getting into fighter jets and everything else. And so, of course, there's a series of valves and whatnot and different checks that you have to do. And one day, I still remember out there, he had the Air Force little checklist. He was going through it. And he had basically didn't use a whole lot of wisdom. He had blocked off the transfer that was coming in without realizing it. So the transfer is moving, but it's deadheading on the opposite side of the separator. It was just a matter of minutes before that thing went and took off. It couldn't handle it. And you simply knew he had no wisdom. He had knowledge. There was knowledge there what the valves did and what we were doing, but he didn't have the wisdom to apply it. You really need wisdom in your life. We need to ask God for it. We need to seek Him for it. So when it comes to obtaining wisdom, number one, understand this, it's from the Lord. And when we see in Scripture who He gives wisdom to, Solomon's a great example of it. It was somebody who came to Him humbly, seeking it immediately. And Proverbs demonstrates over and over the necessity of diligently going after wisdom. In other words, it's recognizing the need you have of it, knowing that it's only of the Lord that you're going to get it, and begging Him for it. And He says that's something that He will provide. Now, the attributes of wisdom. What does it look like? So you're getting ready to make a decision in your life, and you're trying to determine, all right, is this God's wisdom or man's wisdom? What exactly does that look like? What does God's wisdom look like? Again, James chapter 3. Let's go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we're just going to look at it. It compares worldly wisdom and God's wisdom here. I'm just going to focus on God's wisdom right now. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, this is from the Lord. Here's what it's going to look like. First pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is what it looks like, God's wisdom. He's telling you, here's going to be the attributes when I provide you wisdom. This is what it's going to look like. And he says, first of all, it's going to be pure, free from sin. In other words, wisdom where the end justifies the means is not going to be of God. You know, again, I went through a course on evangelism. This would have been back around 1990. I was probably, again, about 20 years old and just starting Bible college via correspondence. And I got this course in. And it was going over all these different ways of how to get people into your church. And I remember even thinking, I was 20 years old and thinking, wow, this just doesn't seem right. And I remember I went to a youth about a couple years prior to that. I mean, I was only 20 years old. I was probably about 17 or 18. I went to this youth, I don't know, some type of youth rally in southern Ohio. And we were all going to go out door knocking. And I still remember they handed out these survey kits. And so they told us how we were going to do it, that you went to each door and you let them know that you're doing a survey. And the idea was to get them to a point where you can actually give the gospel out. And so I get the survey. I'm sitting here. I'm thinking, I can't do this. I'm lying. I'm not doing a survey. And the end doesn't justify the means. So yes, I believe that was of carnal wisdom, not godly wisdom. I shouldn't have to lie to get to that point. I shouldn't have to use some type of manipulation to get to that end. That's true in all your relationships, by the way. Because when it said, but the wisdom that is above is first manipulative. Well, that wasn't there. It's pure. It's free from sin. It brings integrity. And it's interesting how it says this is first. So the first effect of God's wisdom is not something on your intellect. It's not something to make you more brilliant. But it's something that's to make your heart more holy. That's the very first attribute of wisdom that comes from God. It's going to affect your character, not your intellect. So God's wisdom, first, is going to be pure. Secondly, it's going to be peaceable. The word really means peace-loving. It's not going to lead to strife. You know, just like we are independent fundamental Baptists and we're conservative, and but I have news for you, and we're going to take a stand on all those just like we do, but if that produces some type of mean, nasty spirit, something's wrong. That wisdom is not of God. You can make a right stand without being nasty about it. That would not be peaceable. We need to deal with others we disagree with wisdom. That'll save a whole lot of conflict in your life. And knowing that God's wisdom is peaceable, that's not going to lead to strife, it'll help you determine, wait a minute, this wisdom, is this of God? Or wait a second, this is not going to go that direction. Then it's probably not of God. Remember, if you're disagreeing with a lost person, remember not to scold a blind man for being blind. If you're disagreeing with a saved man, remember he's your brother. That's who he is. And also know there's an unsaved world watching. God's wisdom, when facing those things, will be peaceable. Next, it says it's gentle. It says the idea of a reasonableness about it. God's wisdom. It'll have the kind of attitude that's patient, especially patient when enduring difficulty. In other words, it's facing a situation, God's wisdom is not going to generate a spirit of revenge. If you come up with a plan how to get back, that's not God's wisdom. It's not. It goes directly against what that's saying. You can mark it down, that's not of God. It gives you a measure of reasonableness. It even goes further. You can put an adjective that's often defined with this word and write down a sweet reasonableness. So it's gentle, it's peaceable, it's pure. Again, these are the elements you look for. Okay, I'm making this decision. Does it line up with this? Is it easy to be entreated? What does that mean? It means, of course, this deals with a submission to God, a measure of obedience with it. But it means it's something that doesn't lead to stubbornness, but to listening. It also carries the idea with the word, when you look up the definition of a teachableness. Again, it's going the opposite way of some type of wisdom that just leads to you being stubborn. It's not of God. That's not God's wisdom. It's easy to be entreated. It's gentle, it's peaceable, it's pure. God's wisdom is also full of mercy and good fruits. It's full of mercy. Mercy, of course, is not receiving what you do deserve. Is there anybody here that doesn't need mercy? But so often, it's when the other one needs mercy that we forget that. And so we make decisions that are apart from mercy. And that's an indicator that wisdom is not of God. It's full of mercy. Full of mercy and good fruits, which has the idea of willing to forgive quickly, not holding grudges, showing concern for others, a measure of compassion towards others with the wisdom that you have. It goes on, besides full of mercy and good fruits, easy to be entreated, gentle, peaceable, pure, without partiality. Again, this is a unique word here. It's actually the only time that it's used in the New Testament is found right here. And it has the idea of, not necessarily the partiality as we might think, although that, you know, certainly is wrong. Sometimes we think of discrimination, that is wrong, depending on how that discrimination is working. But this word partiality here has the idea of decisiveness and singleness of mind. It's the opposite, basically, of wavering. In other words, what it means without the partiality, it's saying it knows this is the direction to go. There's not a wavering there. There's a sense of peace, if you will, about that decision. The wavering means you're using a lot of carnal wisdom. See, with God's wisdom, what He supplies you with is a spirit of that decisiveness. And with that, along with that word that is used that is unique, not having a measure of fear. Because sometimes, let's face it, you know what prevents people from making a lot of decisions? They're simply afraid to. They almost want to get stuck where they're at because they don't want to make the decision. With God's wisdom, what He's telling you with this, without partiality, it's the ability to be decisive without fear. And that makes sense because it's of the Lord, the one who knows tomorrow. And then lastly tonight, and I'll close with this, without hypocrisy. God's wisdom is without hypocrisy. In other words, when you're making a decision here, what element you're looking at with this is it's something that in a decision you make that still allows you to be real with your faith, not fake with it. Where there's not a measure of hypocrisy going into whatever it is you're doing, but allows you to be genuine still with your walk. It's without the hypocrisy. So in other words, and you can see where God, because wisdom comes from God, where God has to tailor wisdom to each one of us for that to work. He has to know right where you're at spiritually to be able to provide the wisdom needed for your situation with where you're at with your walk, so there's not a measure of fakeness about you. And yet you're still making the right decision. That only comes from God. It comes from Him. He doesn't want you to pretend. He simply wants your faith to be real. And the ability to do that with your decisions is needed in God's wisdom. And so, when making decisions, understand. See, well, how do I put this into practice? See, so often, we'll make financial decisions and based on what's we think is going to be financially best. Well, that's seeking gold and silver. That's what that is. It is, now it's saying, no, I need wisdom from God. This isn't a financial, I'm going to seek wisdom to make the right decision here. It's not going to be about a bottom line. It's what would God have me to do? It's the same thing with your relationships when you're trying to rear your children. Again, when we're rearing our children, our desire is simply not to produce the right behavior. Our desire is to produce a walk with God that leads to right behavior. If you're trying to produce right behavior without the walk with God, just wait till you're not around. Oh, and that behavior's gone. And so it's seeking wisdom from God for those things. Listen, you need that more than wealth. You need that more than fame. You need to seek for wisdom early, diligently, and it comes from God. And the great thing is, he makes it so clear. If you are going to seek for wisdom diligently, He desires to provide it. And as it said in James chapter 1, one thing I love about that portion, he says, and abradeth not. You can think that's just like when Daniel came to me. I'm going to tell you now. When Daniel went to start the generator one day, and he had to do the different checks. We had the set checks in place. You check the oil. You put the fuel in every single time you started it. We went through a lot of oil with those things. And so he had to check the oil, he had to put the fuel in, you turn the generator on. Let it run for about 5 minutes, and then you flip the switch and it'll power the house. You let the power side warm up, you just don't put a load on it. And so, anyhow, I had heard the generator running and running and running and running, but no power had come on yet. And it was going for a pretty good amount of time. And so I thought I'd better go check to see what's going on. So I step out of the house, and he comes out of the generator shed, and he's covered in oil. I mean, just splattered all over him. And as I said, what happened? And he said, well, I know I had to check the oil, but I started it first, and then I remembered I have to check the oil. So he went ahead and checked the oil while it was running. It's just a little generator. So you take that thing off, and all oil sitting right there, that pump is going to throw that right at you. But he needed wisdom. When God doesn't, you come to him, God doesn't come to you and say and abrade it. Not say, I probably made fun of him pretty good right there. I didn't yell, but God doesn't even do that. He abradeth not. He's not ready there to condemn you. I mean, we think he's this evil, you know, just ready to stomp on you so hard. It's not who he is. He said, I'll give it to you and I'll abrade it not. Seek him with it. Listen, we all need it desperately in our lives. We need the wisdom of God. With heads bowed and eyes closed.